I'd like to welcome organisers Shane Alger from Dublin One City One Book Initiative and Pat Bourne, co-editor of the book. You're both very welcome.
Thanks a lot.
And also indeed to welcome City Librarian Margaret Hayes, and indeed to acknowledge the input of Dublin City Council to this whole initiative as well. Jane, we'll just start with yourself. How long is this initiative going now, the Dublin One City One Book?
It started by Dublin City Libraries in 2006, and the book we did that year was Flann O'Brien's I Swim Two Birds, because the book we choose always has to have a connection with the city, either through the author or through the content.
Right.
So we've had all sorts of classics and newly published material since then. We've had A Long, Long Way by Sebastian Barry, Gulliver's Travels, Dracula, written by Bram Stoker, who at the time a lot of people didn't even know was born in Dublin. And then Joseph O'Connor's Ghostlight, and we did Dubliners by James Joyce, which was a way of introducing people to Joyce because it's a collection of short stories. And then last year we did Strumpet City, which was a huge success.
Absolutely. There is that sense, I mean, obviously every year the book in question has had its own success, but it does seem to be growing in magnitude every year, that the success around the book, doesn't it?
It does. If you even look at the size of the programme, this year and last year, and the first year we had a small piece of paper really, and then it seems to grow. It just grew every year, because what happens is we organise a certain number of events and then other partners come on board and all the national cultural institutions come on board. This year and last year we have all the other Dublin Local Authority Library Services. They're all organising their own events and they all go into the programme. So each year there's a new collection of partners, some of them that are particularly relevant to whatever book it is. Last year we had the 1913 Commemoration Committee. This year we have Poetry Ireland. The year before last we had the James Joyce Centre, because we were doing Dubliners. So each year it brings its own set of partners, but also a great set of regular partners who we organise very imaginative events.
Yes, yeah, and it's always for the month of April, isn't it?
Always the month of April, starts on the 1st of April and goes on right up to the 30th of April.
And as you say, it's a month full of events. The calendar's fairly full at that time.
The calendar's full, there's something on every day. And because this year it's a map, if you like, so poems about places in Dublin, we have a great selection of walks, and in fact there's a walk tomorrow. If people want to check our website, there's a walk tomorrow with Paul O'Hanrahan. O'Halloran, and anybody stood some places left for that. People can cruise along the Liffey. The Liffey inspired a lot of poets, and people can go on bus tours and just look at the website or pick up a programme in the local library or bookshop. There's an extraordinary range of events.
Yeah, it feels like a festival of sorts, doesn't it? There's so much going on. People had time on their hands, or even, I imagine, for visitors to Dublin at this time, especially those with an interest in Irish literature, it would be a very good time to be in the city.
Well, it's a lovely way of introducing people to the city. Mm. I had an email the other day from one of Dublin's twin cities, San Jose, from a journalist who's coming here next week, and he wanted to know what was happening. He's coming here specifically for One City, One Book, and he wants to know what's happening. So he's going to get the book and wander around and look at the places that have inspired the poets right throughout the years, contemporary poets and poets going back, as Pat will tell you, hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the city, it's the streets are inspiring people, and it's just the minutiae of life as seen through the eyes of poets. And I think that's what's so wonderful about this book. It's different. And poets can say something in a few words that it might take a novelist a couple of chapters to say.
Yeah.
And people will see something familiar in the poetry and that they can identify with.
Sure. And you mentioned, of course, the input of so many people to make it a success. And if you want to tell us a little bit about the particular input of Dublin City Council.
Well, Dublin City Council Public Libraries are the organisers of the whole festival. I'm a librarian. I'm with the Dublin UNESCO City of Literature Office, which is run by Dublin City Libraries. And a lot of library branches are organising events as well. We have poetry appreciation classes by Niall McMonagall. There are poetry classes and workshops for teenagers all over the city. And Dublin City Council also we're here in the Hugh Lane Gallery. This is the Dublin City Council building. And the Hugh Lane Gallery are hosting this event. They hosted an event earlier on today. There are more events being hosted here. And Dublin City Council has put huge backing into the One City, One Book Festival. And people will see the street banners up and the JC Deco banners out on the outer orbital routes. That's all courtesy of Dublin City Council.
Wow. Pat, just to bring you into this itself, quite a big undertaking. How did you come on board? Was it an initiative that you put forward, or was it something maybe you were approached about doing?
I'm a writer, a poet myself, and a number of years ago I inherited a small poetry press. And that's a mixed blessing at the best of times. And one is always trying to find ways to get over the sometimes reluctance of general readers to approach a book of poems. And it's a sometimes reluctance. It's not always there. And you constantly have to soften the transition, if you like. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is that I think when you enter your typical book of poems, you're coming at a subject or you're coming at an object, if you like, or a theme from a whole lot of angles. So it requires a certain amount of work often on the part of the reader. Mm-hmm. So over the number of years I've been doing this, I've made a number of anthologies to try to present something that seems to be a unit, mm-hmm. Because it allows for a more general discussion, I think, as well. And festivals like this, designations like One City, One Book, are about bringing people together to discuss a book and to share, and sometimes to disagree about the merits or otherwise of a book. So when I had the idea to make a book of poems about Dublin, and I involved my co-editor, Gerard Smith, we really had set out to make a relatively small thing, or thought it would be a small thing. And we started to recognise that so many of the poems had specific reference to Dublin, and then so many traditional songs, or songs that had entered the tradition, had those same kind of references. Mm-hmm. And when we gathered those kind of poems, we realised there's in fact a substantial anthology here, in fact much bigger than the one that we eventually published, for just reasons of resources. Mm-hmm. And halfway on that journey then we went and talked to Jane and her colleagues and said, this could be a project that might really work for you because it would lend itself to events like the one we're in now. The mention of the Hugh Lane Gallery, it's in two of the poems here explicitly, and it's a presence in others, as are other galleries and other public buildings and places that are still now the part of the fabric of Dublin, mm-hmm. or have fallen off the map even in recent years, in the Celtic Tiger years. So that the book might have that kind of access and attraction for a general reader. And thus far, that seems to be the case. I think the fact that we have reminded ourselves and others that there is a connection between popular song and lyric writing and verse writing, I think that makes it more immediate and accessible as well. I think there's that sense that if one lives in a part of Dublin or is from a part of Dublin or has studied here or is just visiting, there's that sense of, I wonder, is my version of Dublin or my view Absolutely. Of Dublin, the view from my window or my back bedroom, is that reflected in it?
Yeah.
And I would say very much that where it's not, in this specific volume, in a way that's an invitation to anybody who writes or makes songs or does other things to add to this. Mm. So I would see that while the festival is about this book this year, I think in a general way it's about this idea more than it is about this book. I'm not trying to denigrate the book, and I hope people continue to take it home and take it to their hearts. But I think it's about poetry in general. Mm. The festival, it's that celebration, and it's very heartening, I think, for both of us and others to see that even after the publication of the if you like, the official events of the festival, or the ones that made it in time for the published brochure, there are still other events being added. There's a kind of a fringe happening, yeah. And I think that's a really good sign. It's a very heartening sign for us, and I don't know where it's going to take the festival. You know, one of the things that one might know about the city is that it's full of performance poetry at the moment, which is that kind of crossover of the last 10 or 15 years from the music world, and it's only barely reflected here because it's not necessarily work made for a page. But I think it's really interesting that that's happening as well, and that is part of this festival.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it's going to go yet, but it's interestingly complicated.
No, it's interesting you're saying that, because certainly from reading the book, you pick it up and you're thinking you're going to read a book of maybe Dublin poetry or whatever, but then there's that sense of the way it's pulled together in terms of the structure, the north side, south side, the past or modern, the A to Z of authors, A to Z of places.
Yeah.
And it was reminding me very quick, it does get the reader thinking about their own version of Dublin, whether it's as a visitor, whether it's somebody... your inherited experience of Dublin, maybe through your relations, and then your own experience of Dublin, different places. So it brings all of that in.
Well, I mean, there's always a game. Once you come up with an idea for a book, there's a certain amount of play involved afterwards. And even the design of the book and the title of the book is to emphasise that sense that Dublin is a place where, whether it be literal or virtual, a place that you go, and that the journey is... It tends to be relatively slow motion and on foot, both the way poems are composed and often the way they're ingested or sung. Mm-hmm. And that's that, you know, the cover image plays with that, the kind of pedestrianised city. And I think that's something that we often forget in Dublin, that the scale has definitely helped in fostering the multiple traditions of writing and singing and speaking and talking as we are about it. So I think, it's a kind of a perfect fit for what Jane and her colleagues are doing in Dublin City Libraries. And I also think it's a very interesting reflection for a visitor to the city here. It is kind of a travel book, but a travel book in a more complicated way, maybe, than one might normally expect. And in that sense, it's, as I said somewhere else, it's a choral book. It's not that sense of I'm looking for the one authoritative voice. And some of the poems argue with each other or answer each other or slightly overlap each other. And I think that's all really interesting, you know?
Yes.
And like any anthology, there will be things in this that people love and there will be other things that some people don't love. And what you do is you turn the page. The oldest technology, you know, you move your arm and you move on.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we know ourselves from our school years, there were poems that really meant a lot to us at one stage, or songs, and that we now feel a little bit, you know, a little bit lost in front of. And poems tend to come back. Mm. You know, I know myself from trying to put these in some kind of a meaningful, if not the only sequence, that re-encountering poems in different company, it's like meeting your next door neighbour whom you think you know, and you're suddenly in a different part, or you're on a foreign holiday and there she is, and you strike it up in a whole new way. There's that sense that the familiar becomes strange and the strange is familiar.
Absolutely, there is. There's so much, as you say, and just from reading it myself, there, that sense of, right from the cover to the way you describe it, that sense of going in on a journey.
Yeah.
And it is stepping into the past, but also bringing it up to date in lots of ways. And there's just so many references you've forgotten over the years to come back up, you know. There's so much more I'd love to ask you about the structure and how it all came together, but just conscious of time. So what we'll do just is to thank Jane and Pat for coming to talk to us about If Ever You Go, and we'll take a bit of music now.